From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. State and local officials and activists released statements shortly after a jury found on April 20th Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin guilty of the murder of George Floyd last year. Chauvin was recorded kneeling on Floyd's neck for almost 10 minutes. Here's what the verdict reading sounded like for a group of protesters encamped on Arch Street in Albany from a recording Robert Gavin of the Times Union made as Chauvin was found guilty on all counts.
State of Minnesota, County of Hennepin, District Court, 4th Judicial District. State of Minnesota Plaintiff versus Derek Michael Chauvin, Defendant. Verdict, Count 1. Court File Number 27, CR20-12646. The jury in the above entitled matter as to count one, unintentional second degree murder while committing a felony, find the defendant guilty. Verdict agreed to this date of April 2021 at 1:44 p.m. Found juror Wilkerson, juror number 19.
Milo Ribey was one of the protesters in Albany. Looking toward a sign with the names of over 40 black Americans killed by police, he said, and I quote, "This isn't a feeling we're used to," end quote. Hudson Mayor Kamal Johnson posted on Facebook, and I quote, "As a race, we're always prepared for the worst. This verdict shows exactly why the work for racial justice is extremely important. We must continue to create paths of healing by transforming structures of systemic racism. Justice for black and brown Americans is justice for all Americans. Consistency will be the key to a better future for us all," end quote. Governor Andrew Cuomo released a statement that said in part that, and I quote, "While I'm grateful the jury returned these verdicts, accountability is not the same as justice. It doesn't make an unacceptable situation acceptable, and it doesn't bring Gianna's dad back," end quote. New York Attorney General Letitia James wrote on Twitter, and I quote, "I pray that the Floyd family finds some semblance of justice and peace for this horribly unjust act," end quote. Representative Antonio Delgado of the 19th Congressional District wrote on Facebook that, and I quote, "While the verdict by itself will not heal the devastatingly deep and tragically persistent wounds our nation carries born of racial oppression, may it inspire us to earnestly and thoughtfully, with love in our hearts, confront the scourge of racism that lives with us daily," end quote. Representative Paul Tonko, whose district includes Albany County, posted on Twitter that, and I quote, "The evidence in this case was overwhelming, as are the lessons and commitments for change we must take from it," end quote. Natasha Vaughn is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Fire departments and rescue squads in Columbia County have received $275,000 in grant money from the Hudson River Bank and Trust Foundation. The awards were given to help offset costs associated with pandemic response. Hudson River Bank and Trust Foundation President Carl Florio said, and I quote, "We were thinking this was obviously a very stressful year for everyone, especially for what are primarily volunteer organizations. So we thought that one way to try and help out in terms of equipment needs or PPE needs or whatever they needed that would contribute to all the fire districts in Columbia County, plus all the rescue squads," end quote. The money was divided among four rescue squads in 31 fire districts and departments based on the number of people served, Florio said. Checks have already been distributed. The amount of funds allocated ranged from $1,500 to $10,000. Columbia County Fire Coordinator George Keeler said in a statement, and I quote, "Our sincere gratitude goes out to the HRBT Foundation for their continuing commitment to assisting not-for-profit organizations, especially during these trying times," end quote. The foundation was formed when Hudson River Bank and Trust Company converted to a public company in July 1998. It provides funding in support of charitable causes and community development activities in Columbia County. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Mid-Hudson News is reporting Ulster County Executive Patrick Ryan Monday, April 19th, submitted comments to the state sitting board urging the state agency to reject Danks Hammer Energy's application to build a new electric generating facility on the site of the former plant in the town of Newburgh. He said, and I quote, "Dankshammer is the wrong project at a pivotal time for our community. It offers an outdated, dirty energy solution to a problem that requires a modern, clean energy solution in an area known for its historic roots in the environmental movement," end quote. Michelle Hook, Dankshammer's vice president for public affairs, said upgrading the plant's equipment is, and I quote, "a no-brainer," end quote. She said the proposed upgrades, and I quote, "would simply improve the existing 70-year-old plant, making it significantly cleaner and reducing air pollution by thousands of tons a year," end quote. Ulster County Legislator Tom Corcoran, who represents the town of Marlboro, said taxpayers in his district, and I quote, "will be hurt and hundreds of good-paying union jobs could now be in jeopardy," end quote. Richard Gerentine, a former Marlboro town supervisor and county legislator, said upgrading Dankshammer, and I quote, "is a huge win for Marlboro families," end quote, "and at a time when the pandemic has hurt the local economy." And I quote, "this project would bring much needed tax dollars to Marlboro schools," end quote. Todd DiRio, president of the Hudson Valley Building and Construction Trades Council, said Ryan and the trades, and I quote, "share a common vision most of the time, but on this issue, we are definitely on a different page," end quote. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. Nick Reisman is reporting for State of Politics. A bill that would pave the way for a single-payer health system in New York cleared the Assembly Health Committee April 19th. Supporters of the bill argue the measure is needed after the COVID-19 pandemic exposed flaws in the current system. Opponents, however, argue the measure would gut the state's finances and impact employment in the healthcare sector. Advocates like Campaign for New York Health co-directors Ursula Rossum and Yulin Kosu cited the devastation caused by the pandemic on both individual household finances as well as on health itself as major motivators for the bill's passage this year. They said in a joint statement, and I quote, "New Yorkers will be mobilizing in big numbers to tell the Assembly and the Senate to pass this legislation before the end of session and to tell Governor Andrew Cuomo to sign it into law," end quote. Cuomo has said in the past that a single-payer bill was best left to the federal government, and he has never had the measure put on his desk. The business-backed coalition Realities of Single-Payer, in a statement, warned against the legislation advancing further, saying it would be detrimental to healthcare coverage statewide. The coalition also pointed to newly approved provisions meant to expand coverage, like eliminating essential plan premiums and out-of-pocket expenses while adding coverage for postpartum women. The coalition said the bill, and I quote, "would limit access to the quality of care by underfunding hospitals and providers. Based on the experience of the pandemic, do we really want the state health department running our entire healthcare system?" End quote. And you can read the full story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.